On February 11th, Democrats in New Hampshire go to the polls in the presidential primaries with one of the largest candidate fields in generations, and they're looking for ways to keep up with platforms and policy proposals. But of course, voters of all stripes can find it hard to navigate those shoals. And as New Hampshire Public Radio's Daniela Alley reports, some are recalibrating the way they consume news as they prepare for the primary.
Chicken chile rellenos and fajitas helped get three friends through a debate watch party at a Mexican restaurant in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Minda Gowardy and husband and wife Malcolm Shangala and Kelly Corbett watched intently. They've been friends for 10 years, and they all pay attention to the news. So, naturally, politics comes up pretty frequently. For a long time, Shangala used the Google News app to find out what was happening.
It was easy to get news from sources across the political spectrum. Right-wing stuff, left-wing stuff, moderate stuff, it was right there.
But by the morning of the debate, he'd had enough. He deleted the app from his phone. He and his wife had noticed he was increasingly short-tempered after reading the news.
Well, I've just read, you know, a bunch of articles from dueling political spectrum news sources. And now I'm stuck in, this crossfire of angry politics.
So Shangala switched. He goes to the source now, scouring websites from Fox, CNN, The New York Times, and that allows him to curate his media diet more carefully. The Google News app algorithm, he says, just seemed designed to get him to click on the most provocative headlines.
Suspicion is that it was trying to find articles that just generated clicks as much as possible, and that seemed to be synonymous with provoking outrage.
Minda Gowardy also works to add variety to her news feed. She knows she's drawn to stories that confirm what she's already thinking.
My gut reaction when I think about a policy is to sort of default left, right? If I hear something on the left, I'm like, yes, of course, right, left.
To be a more informed voter, she says, she makes a point of reading things she might disagree with.
I think it forces me to think a little bit more and to say, wait, what is the other side? What is more well-rounded? Where is this coming from?
Unlike Gowardy and Shangala, it's hard for Kelly Corbett to read other news sources.
My blood boils too much when I'm reading right-wing stories.
But she does have someone she can rely on to tell her what the other side is saying. Her husband reads news from across the political spectrum.
So I rely on him to kind of like give me the synopsis. What are they actually saying on the other side of the aisle?
Changing up news sources is one approach. Other folks are growing more skeptical about ones they used to rely on.
My name is Miriam Osofsky, and I am a clinical psychologist.
Osofsky is politically active. Climate change is her issue. She says the last few election cycles have left her feeling that the media is no longer an impartial moderator of the political debate. She points to how, in her view, much of the press failed to take Bernie Sanders' campaign seriously in 2016.
And I became more skeptical and more careful about how I interpreted what I read.
Osofsky doesn't really trust mainstream media, so she looks for news sources that are funded entirely by subscribers, like Democracy Now!, a left-leaning radio and TV show.
Mainstream media has an agenda. They're very wealthy people who benefit from things as they are. The oligarchy want them to stay that way.
But Osofsky still has a subscription to the New York Times and reads it most days, but selectively now. She devours the paper's climate coverage, but takes a pass on its opinion page. Corey Harai, who lives in Lebanon, is taking a different tact altogether. She's trying to be a news source herself, using her social media accounts. When she lived in the Midwest for 10 years, Harai had a very different primary experience and missed New Hampshire's retail politics.
I would have to, like, rely on my friends in New Hampshire to, like, tell me what was going on. And so when I moved back to New Hampshire, I was like, okay, this is my job now. I am going to be everybody else's source of information because I am going to meet all the candidates.
So far, her eyes met 9 of the Democratic candidates. She's created a Facebook album for the upcoming primary so her friends can flip through her posts easily. Each one includes a selfie with a brief analysis about the candidate.
They should know enough to know that it's not, the definitive evaluation of the candidate, but it is a different perspective than what they're going to be able to get through any other sort of media.
Harai says she takes this seriously. She feels she's reporting and telling stories that her friends back in the Midwest can't get in local or national media. She says she's not trying to influence how they vote, but she does want as many people as possible to see what she posts. So she's learned some tricks on Facebook: post selfies, reply to comments, And in that way, she's not that different from news outlets. She wants her stories to be read. For Hearing Now, I'm Daniela Alley.